This is Doug Miller. The time is short. The Lord is at hand. Lift your heads and look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with our Bibles in hand, opened up, and I want you to open up to 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and follow along with us, and let me defend, if I can, and as the Lord gives me grace and light, let me defend the proposition that I stated clearly at the outset of this broadcast. Friends, we are living in the end times. The time is near. Now, I don't mean this in some vague sense. I mean that time is running out and that very probably those of us, many of us who are living right now, some of us who are even listening right now, will be alive to see the coming again of the Lord and the establishment of the kingdom on this earth. Now, this is serious business. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to 1 Thessalonians 4:15, call a friend and urge them to listen in, because this is not a subject that you cannot fool around and play around with this one. This is serious, serious business. Okay? Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out and for warning people and warning them as sternly as we can. Now is the time. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now is the time to repent. Today is the day of salvation. It cannot be put off any longer. Friends, if you are not saved, you are standing in jeopardy every minute of your life. Now, I am talking to you this way because a week from today, or rather, 2 weeks from today, we will be, Mark Hitchcock and I, at Camp Klassen, down in the Arbuckle Mountains, an hour south of Oklahoma City on I-35 to exit 51. That's the Turner Falls exit. And when you exit, don't go west to Turner Falls. Go east. Go east, and you will, and just follow the signs, and you will go right to Camp Klassen. We are going to begin this seminar at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to run it until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that will give all of you plenty of time to get back home and go to church the next day, and you better go to church. And I hope you are in churches where they preach the Word and teach Christ and where they have a right interpretation of this Scripture, because you need to be warned. Time is growing short, and I am not just kidding. I am not just talking to hear myself talk. You need to come down. And as far as you're coming down, you're running out of time to RSVP. Now, if you just want to show up at the seminar at Camp Klassen, and you can always go into Davis at noon and eat, and there'll be plenty of time for you to do that, because we'll give a couple of hours from, say, noon to 2 o'clock before we'll start up the seminar again. So there'll be time. But if you wish to eat with us at Camp Klassen at a meal that we will prepare, and it's all free, no charge for any of this, we need to hear from you, okay? And you need to RSVP. Today is the day of deadline, but up until, let's say, Monday, because we need to let Camp Klassen know, don't we? Yeah. I want you to write this down. Here is a phone number, 405-568-5048. and I'll give it again at the end of the broadcast. Or you can email Dialogue Ministries, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. Don't need to know your name so much as the number that will be coming so that we can make preparations. And friends, you need to be here for this one. You need to be here for this one. This is of critical importance. All right? Now, I want to just spend a little time in the scriptures on this because, and those of you, some of you were listening last time, some of you I'm sure have already called in, and we'll see you at Camp Klassen. But I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians verses 4, chapter 4, and beginning with verse 15, and we will be reading down into chapter 5. There's a reason why I want to spend some time with you in this one. And the reason is quite simple. So many people out there have been taught, and many of you listening to me have been taught, that you cannot know when the Lord Jesus is coming back for his church or when he's coming back to this earth. And you've been taught that by well-meaning people who have not been reading the scriptures as clearly and plainly as they should have been reading them. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus said of the day and hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son of Man, but my Father in heaven only. Now, he said that in connection with the Olivet Discourse, as he preached it in Matthew 24, and we've also got it in Luke and Mark, and we have got the Lord Jesus telling the disciples in the first chapter of Acts. It's not for them to know the dates and times and seasons which God has put in his own hand. He knows. Kind of interesting. You might say, well, the Lord Jesus himself said he didn't know. Does he know now? Well, there are two schools of thought on that. I have considered both schools, and I can say that I feel fairly comfortable in saying that he probably does know now. He had taken a lower position at the time in the sense of coming into this earth, and he had voluntarily limited himself and his own knowledge at that time. He is back in heaven now with his Father, and I think he probably does know now. But there is good reason to believe I could be wrong on that. There is good reason to believe that maybe even now the Lord Jesus doesn't know that his Father is the only one that knows. And we have this in the type of the bride and the bridegroom going to get his bride. And in the Jewish custom, only the Father knew this, and he would tell the Son when it was time to get his bride. And maybe the Lord Jesus is even now waiting for his Father. Well, certainly he's waiting for his Father to say, it's time, go get your bride, son. Certainly that is true. But nevertheless, some of you have been taught that we can't know the time of the season, and I'll admit that we can't know the date. And we shouldn't be setting dates. The Millerites did that back in the 19th century, and they got it wrong, and they have repeatedly gotten it wrong since then. And, of course, they are called Seventh-day Adventists today. The Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called, they're false witnesses, actually, but they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and they set dates, back in the 19th century. Pastor Russell, and they deceived a bunch of people, and they continued setting dates, and they got it wrong. And, of course, what can I say? They were wrong, but listen. The fact that we can't set dates and get them right does not mean that we cannot know the general times. We can, and we should, and we ought to. And if you were listening to me last week, you heard me say that if you can't look at the signs of the times, if you're saved, with the indwelt by the Holy Spirit and with the total Word of God in hand, if you can't look and see the day approaching, what's the matter with you? That you would have to lump yourself in with the scribes and Pharisees, as the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16, verses 1 through 3, called them a bunch of hypocrites. You can read the signs of the heavens, but you can't read the signs of the time and know that I indeed am Messiah, that at the first coming There's sufficient light and information that you should be able to know this and not be up here asking me for some special sign. Well, if that was true of them then, how much more would it be true of us at his second coming? Surely we can see and know. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. We have this very, very powerful and very familiar verse to many all Christians. All Christians know this one. Even the preterists who try to argue their way around it are familiar with this one. And the portions of 1 Corinthians 15 where the Lord talks about the raising up of the dead in Christ and the resurrection of the dead bodies and the changing of the believers. Look at this. Let's even back it up to verse 15. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring again with him. Now, there you are. I wouldn't have you be ignorant of this. Some of them were ignorant at the time. Some of them were in confusion about this. Paul's going to clear it up for them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, they shall not go before, shall by no means go before them. Is what a better translation of that would be. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now let's just stop it right there before we go on down into chapter 5. Let's just stop it there and think about this a little bit. Christians have always believed, have always taught, that indeed there is a generation of Christians that will never see physical death. Why is that? Because the church age is going to run out. This age of grace in which we are living is rapidly coming to a close. The church is being filled up and completed and filled out by the Lord until it is a perfect church, having neither wrinkle nor blemish nor spot. And when the church is completed, Christ Jesus will, as the heavenly bridegroom, come back to get his bride. Now, what will it take to complete the church? Listen carefully. The last member that will be fitted in. The last living stone placed in the edifice. The last whatever it is, cell, little finger, little toe, whatever. The last member to be fitted into the body. And God knows exactly. There's a number. And that number is not infinite. It is finite, friends. There's an actual number, and God knows that number. He has known all along who would be saved and who wouldn't. And that causes a lot of people a lot of trouble out there. But you can put that one in the bank. And when that last member has come in, the last one to believe, it may be one of you listening to my voice right now. It may be one of you who will be seated as an unbeliever, perhaps, in the seminar we are going to conduct. I don't know who that last person is or where he or she is, but I know there is one. And when that last person comes in, the church will be completed, and the Lord will come back to get his bride. And that coming is very close at hand. I am telling you right now, we've been waiting for almost 2,000 years now, waiting and looking up and watching that blessed hope in our hearts. We have been waiting for the Lord to come back for us. And our salvation, wrote Paul in Romans Chapter 13 is nearer than when we believed. Our salvation is not the idea that we will die and go home to be with Him. That is true if we die before He comes back. But our salvation as a church, as the body of Christ, is His coming for us. Now, for those of you out there who are saying, well, yeah, I believe everything you've said, for those of you who would say that, amen, praise the Lord for you. Because there are a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians who don't believe a word that I've just said. They don't believe in the blessed hope at all. They have long since refused to believe in anything that I've said, and they think, you know, they are the preterists, so-called, and they are the replacement theologians who believe that the church is Israel and so on and so forth. And we'll be debunking all of this notion in the seminar that's coming up. But there are a lot of people who don't believe that. If you believe what I have just read and you are taking this literally, praise the Lord for you. You are obviously in a church where you've got a Bible-believing, Christ-exalting pastor who's preaching the truth to you. And you better stay there. And if you are not in a church that preaches and teaches this, you had better get out of there real quick. But look, I want to go on into chapter 15 now. And let's look at what Paul says here and just take that as literally and truly as what we've just heard. Look at this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. All right, let's read it again. Following chapter 4, right into chapter 5, verse 1. And remember, these chapters and verses Paul didn't put them in his letter. The text just goes right out of one into the other. He didn't say, now I'm going into chapter 5 here. These didn't have chapters and verses. Of the times and seasons, what times and seasons? The times of the coming of the Lord for His church, the sound of the trumpet, the raising up of the dead in Christ, and the translating of the believers, the rapturing of the church. Some of you have heard people say, well, the word rapture's not in the Bible at all. That is an absolute lie. It's right out of the pit. The word rapture is very clearly in the Bible, but you have to read it in the Greek to get it. Okay? And the word, it's all one word, shall be caught up. In verse 17 is all one word in the Greek, and it comes from the word harpazo, and it means to rapture, to seize, or take something by force. Well, when's it going to happen? Paul says in chapter 5 here, you don't need for me to write that. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now let's go on into verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Is that not as clear as God can make it? For those of you who may be disposed to say out there, well, I don't think we can know anything about it. What are you, a child of darkness, that day would overtake you as a thief? If you are saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit and you have this Word of God, then you had better start looking at the signs of the times, and they are all around you. You had better start looking at Israel surrounded by armies back in the land and people saying they're going to wipe them out of existence. You had better start looking at the very nations that are prophesied in Ezekiel and in other parts of the Old Testament as rising up against Israel in the end times. You had better start looking at the church, which has Laodicea written all over it, the church of Christendom, full of unsaved people who don't believe the Bible. And you had better start looking at the rise of Islam and the threats that are being breathed out against Christians and believers every day. And you had better start saying, I can see it. I can see it clearly. And if you can't see it, then what's the matter with you? Well, the matter with you is perhaps you're unsaved, or if you are unsaved, you may be very poorly taught. Look at it again here. Paul says the day will come as a thief in the night. Well, there are two comings of the Lord that concern us and should concern us. And the one coming is his second coming back to this earth. That should be concerning us as believers, because when he comes back, we will be with him, all of us. Not one lost, not one left out. We will come back with him, the armies from heaven. And that's his actual second coming to this earth, and it will not be as a thief. It will be visible. The Lord Jesus said very clearly, and the writer of Revelation, John, says very clearly, every eye shall see him. The sign of the Son of Man will be visible in heaven. He will be coming back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But there is another coming in which he will not come back to the earth. And we've just been reading about this. He will only come back in the air. And he will come as a thief. And how does a thief come? He snatches something away when no one's looking. That's how he does it. And that's what we have here. It comes on the world as a thief, but it will not come on us as a thief. But the Lord Jesus will come back in the air, and he will take his bride out of here. And once again, we are not children of the darkness. That day won't overtake us as a thief. He doesn't need to write to us of times and seasons. We are children of the light. Now, friends, we're closing out now. I'm going to give you these phone numbers and this email address again. You still have time up until about this coming Monday to let us know if you're coming to RSVP. Okay? The seminar once again will be one day, April 16, 2011. It will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning. It will go till 5 p.m. that night, or that afternoon rather, with 2 hours off for lunch in the meantime. That'll give you all plenty of time to come down, enjoy the ministry with Dr. Hitchcock and me, and then get back home for church. RSVP by calling this phone number, area code 405. The number is 568-5048. Or you may email at dialogueministries, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. Or you can always write us, Dialogue Ministries, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. This is one you cannot afford to miss. You need to be here for this one, because I think we all at this time need to be filled with the blessed hope. We don't need to be looking at the world and the troubles around this world. We need to be looking up and expecting our Lord Jesus at any moment. And friends, his coming back for his church will be like a thief. And he will snatch us out of here, and we will be home with him in glory forever. It'll be a day like any other day. You will step out of your house to walk down, say, to the corner store. You will put your right foot down on Main Street and your left foot down in heaven. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.